Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we're getting into a new study, and your Holy Spirit wrote it, and it takes a while for us to understand it, and yet it's the first church. It's the early church. And now when we get through it, we're going to wish that you had written a lot more and talked about a lot of your apostles, because we'd like to know more about them. But we praise you for this book, Lord, and you have much to teach us. So open our hearts and minds today, Lord, and oh, begin with me. It seems like a long, difficult summer, and now we're back in your word, and it feels good. It feels good to be together. And we just ask that you be our teacher and our guide, and we rejoice over Nelda being engaged, Lord, and what a joyous time for her in her life, Lord, when she least expected it. So it's so great. Thank you, Lord, for that precious gift. And we'll just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, okay, we're going to be studying the book of Acts, which is a bridge. Now, I have a grandson-in-law who is an engineer. And if I wrote and told him that I've got a ladies' group and we're studying a bridge, he would be very happy about that. Of course, I tease him a lot and say, you still play with blocks. So. But Acts is a bridge between the Gospels and the Epistles. And if we didn't have the book of Acts, we'd have nothing to replace it. There isn't any other in-between book. And don't you wish that the authors would say, lots of love, Luke at the end, or lots of love, John, or something else, but they don't. But the early fathers, and especially the early apostles, knew Luke, and they knew that he had written this, but we don't have that, you know, that signature. In fact, sometimes when you get a letter, a long letter in the mail, you go right to the end to find out who it was from. Hopefully not the IRS or something like that. And we don't have any real proof that Luke was a physician. But I started thinking about that. And boy, they didn't have shots. I wonder how they treated people. Probably bled them a lot. Didn't they bleed George Washington to death or something? But in my studies, I found out many feel that he was the finest historian. I don't know. I had a little trouble writing questions, so I thought whoever put the numbers in the book of Acts, I'm not sure quite how they did it, because sometimes it just kind of cuts off in the middle of a chapter and you're going to wonder what happened. But at the top of your lesson, just go with the flow where it says what to read. And be sure don't go too far, because then you might be in territory that will give you some different answers than everybody else. So we know pretty much so that he was a Gentile, but I still can't prove that. The reason I say he's a Gentile is because, knowing the Lord like I do, if Luke hadn't written as a Gentile, then the book would be Jewish, the whole thing. So I just see the Lord working this out so that we'd have a Gentile writer in our Bible. Now, in case you're new and don't know what a Gentile is, that's us. I don't think anybody is Jewish here, although one year we did have a Jewish lady, and but she didn't know much about her Bible. And unfortunately, that's true of a lot of Christians today. They don't know much about their Bible. So we'll struggle through Acts together. And if you don't like some of the questions, that's all right. I was thinking, bring soft tomatoes to throw, not hard green ones like I've got. Anyway, it's fair to argue with me. I love it. So don't worry about it. And if you have a blank next week, and you had to write in, I don't know, that's fine. It's just fine, you know. So the book of Acts is very much like the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis records the beginnings or the origin of the physical universe. And Acts records the spiritual body or the beginnings of the church. The word church doesn't even come into the scriptures until we get into the book of Acts. So it's very interesting how it all works together. It gives us the origin of the church. And I was thinking how the early church was really together. And today, there's so many splinters. In fact, I don't like the music, so I'm going to start my own church. Or I don't like the way they serve communion, so I'm going to start my own church. And pretty soon you have splinters all over the place. But the early church had to stick together because they were heavily persecuted. Now, there's a key theme verse in the book of Acts, and we'll be memorizing that. It's Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, of me, to in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. It's a key verse. And that's not just your pastors. That verse is written to us. It divides the book pretty naturally, though, because the first seven chapters deal with the Lord Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. How? He's not there. No, but his Holy Spirit is there. And then chapters 8 through 12, it deals with the apostles in Judea through Samaria. And then it goes on, and from chapter 13 on, eventually, the uttermost parts of the earth. I remember, it just goes through my mind, years ago I had an argument with a gal who said, well, see, the Lord can't come back until he goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I said, well, I think the 144,000 are going to take care of the uttermost parts of the earth. And so many things will be happening on the face of the earth that people are going to know that they need to turn, get their lives right. So if you've been praying for brothers or sisters or mothers or dads or children, hang in there, keep praying. God is going to bring them around one way or the other. I get little bits and fits of stories. My husband said that he heard a fellow that had retired from the Border Patrol, and he said that at least 100,000 Muslims have come across the border into our country. So, and then I heard my son works for the city of San Francisco, especially in the area of bombs and, oh, I don't know, all that junk. He sometimes has to go over on Sundays to pick up needles that are left on the sidewalk. And anyway, said that they expect a terrorist attack soon. So I don't say that to scare you. I just say we know we need to be sober-minded and in prayer and pray for your families. Just think of it. What if your husband were the last person to receive the Lord and then the Lord would return? Wouldn't that be fun? Yeah. So you just never know. And you just never know. One of my closest friends didn't feel well, so she stayed home from work, and then she went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, well, you probably have a virus. She went home and died. And she's about 5 years younger than me, so that was a real loss for me. But we just don't know, do we? I'll try not dying on you, though. So I won't, at least I hope it won't be messy. Anyway, did you know that Acts doesn't have a proper ending? Oh, how come? Well, it's still being written, that's why. I was thinking about it when I finished it this summer. I thought, oh, I'd really like to hear about this apostle and that apostle, and they're not even in the book of Acts. I wonder what they did. And then I thought, well, maybe in heaven we'll have a big bonfire and these apostles will share their stories. Wouldn't that be exciting? And I've learned more things about my two sons that went to Biola around fire places camping than I didn't want to know. (Clears throat) And, of course, my oldest son, who didn't go to Bible, says, "You don't know the half of it, Mom." Hey, they've got their own kids now. You know what goes around comes around. Oh, no, they're good kids, really. So the book of Acts ends with Paul under house arrest in Rome. And then it stops. And it's still being written by, guess who? You and I. Because we are now under the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you divide it? I looked at that and thought, oh, everybody has their opinion how to divide Acts. So, and of course, knowing Luke from last year, he has lots of little snippets, you know, and then they kind of attach together, and then they're cross-referenced. Just remember when you're doing the lesson, they didn't have the New Testament. They didn't. All they had to deal with was the Old Testament. So he had to think back to what the people had. I asked my son about it. It was a mistake. I asked my son about it, who went to seminary. He says, "Mom, you just got to study Isaiah 40. I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yeah, that really explains a lot of it." And I said, "Oh, okay." So I've kind of messed with Acts just the way I can take it on and see it. And I think we'll have some good times together. There's some special features, though. Look for that. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's gone. He's moved his headquarters to heaven, but he still is at work from the vantage point of heaven. And you say, well, how can he keep track of all of us? Well, you know, he's God. And I keep him very busy. Mm. Then it's the Holy Spirit. Remember, Christ promised it. One would come. We studied that in John 14 and other chapters. And John the Baptist said one would come after him who wasn't worthy of attaching the latch on his sandal. And, of course, he's referring to Jesus. The great fact of this age is that this is the age of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. And you can tell when you're with somebody whether the Holy Spirit is working within them. There's only one thing that short-circuits it, and that's is sin. And that's easy to happen, isn't it? You can wake up grumpy, and you can, you know, start off the whole day wrong, and when the cat peed on my rug in the bathroom, figured it was going to be a bad day. Anyway, relax when you do this. We're not in competition. We're learning together, so be at peace. The church. There's the power in the church, and you're going to find some miracles in the book of Acts, and you're going to say, how come? And then, of course, there'll be a question. Is this supposed to happen today? So, what do you think? The important thing on a Bible study is that you learn to think, because I was dragged to that Bible study, and I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to pronounce names. I didn't know where chapters were. And somebody said, well, Genesis is the first one. You should be able to find that one. So I had to learn. I had to learn really fast. And I've been asking questions of the scriptures ever since. And I used to have so many. And I'd put them up on the shelf, and I'd say, well, there's another question. And now, 44 years later, those questions have been answered. And I feel very comfortable, except I'm still kind of wondering why God makes men so strange, but we should have a sign that says, "What is said at the Bible study stays in the Bible study." You know, my husband has been very good to me. He takes good care of me. Well, there's power in the church, and the early church had a high spiritual level working through the believers. So it was a new institution, and it didn't exist until we got into the book of Acts. As I say today, we're so fragmented. But, you know, this class is a good example of just all coming together, studying the Word of God, and We don't, your background or the church you go to is incidental. And if there's differences of opinion in Scripture, then I will give you those differences and let you struggle with it. So, but I take a very conservative view, and I always will. Well, then my son said, well, Mom, why don't you divide it by people? It's Peter and Paul. Okay, but Luke mentions 110 people. You just leave them all out? And how about the first martyr, Stephen? And we'll hit him. I shouldn't say that. We will come across him real soon. And amazing man, and there's a couple of hard questions in regards to him. And how about Philip? You know, that's the one I want. I want to talk to him when I get to heaven. Because how could he run after a chariot? This Ethiopian man is sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 40, and I think, how come? How come he's not car sick? You know, that's what I always told my kids. Don't read in the car, you'll get car sick. And here's Philip from, I think, Jerusalem running after him. And he has all these questions. Isn't that great? That's why we have a question box someplace.
Whoops.
We have a question box, try to take some hard questions, because that's how I learned. I didn't know anything about Scripture, and that's how I learned. I asked a lot of questions. But, Philip and the Ethiopian man, wouldn't you love to have been in on that? And the first 300 years of the church was under persecution, and it grew. And they figured maybe millions came to Christ during that time. But once they legalized Christianity, then things got pretty sloppy. And then when the Word of God was taken away from people because people didn't know how to read, I just thanked the Lord yesterday, as a matter of fact, that I have the ability to read. We take that for granted, don't we, that we went to school to learn to read. And originally, public school was developed so that kids could read their Bible. That was it, and they learned on their Bible. Why? It was under Constantine that it got legalized. The center of in every message was the resurrection back in the early days, and I also was thinking about that we're fortunate to get the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But think of the first church, every time they preached the resurrection. How important that is, because it takes the focus off of us and puts it on the Lord. And don't you want to be resurrected one day with the Lord and be ever with Him? So I think we should hear more about the resurrection. How many years does the book of Acts cover? It covers 30 years. When I read it through, I think, oh, this is just a few months. I do the same thing with Moses and the tabernacle and all that. I get through it. I read it really fast, so it must be a short time. Nope. It was 30-year span. And, what would you call the book? My Bible says it's the Acts of the Apostles, is it? Others say the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Is it? So I decided to call it the Church on Fire. Because by the time you get to the end of Acts, you're going to say, wow, they were really doing a lot of amazing things. And there's amazing things happening today. It's just our lack of faith really clogs it all up. Church on Fire. You sure are having a lot of fun, and you don't feel well. And people keep saying, well, you look real well. And I said, yeah, well, I have three things that could kill me off at any time, especially one thing. So I say, I'll try not to die on you. But I don't know. It was a real strange thing. I was, first week in September, I was going to write everybody a note saying we can't do it. And I had no peace. So I prayed about it some more, and I asked the Lord. what should I do? And he says, move ahead. So I moved ahead, and I'm not worried about my health. One day, one week, I had 5 doctor appointments, and on Friday I had 2, and my husband says, don't go to another doctor, they keep finding things wrong. And I said, so I said, well, it should be a piece of cake on Friday because it's an eye appointment and it's a skin appointment. No problem there. So I went to my eye appointment. He says, well, your multiple myeloma is affecting your eyes, and you could go blind. And then he's on to his next patient, and I thought, wait. When? So, but the funny one was the skin doctor. About an hour later, I said, I'll be in and I'll be out. And I said, I have a couple of little growths. They look kind of funny. Like they kind of look like warts. And she says, no, those aren't warts. Those are barnacles. I laugh the rest of the day. I'm just an old whale. And on the bottom of ship, too, because on bottom boats get barnacles. So I figured, well, I'm at least old enough for that. So she took one off my face and a couple off my chest. So, but that was just hysterically funny to me. And I amuse myself that way. So I have a lot of joy. You know, the one thing that's going to take away your joy, and that's worry. And even in the middle of our leader's workshop yesterday, I get a phone call from UC San Francisco saying they need da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I can't forget it. You know, I wish I could just push it over there and forget the whole thing. As I say, I'll try not to die on you. So, but I do have the joy. And you've really got to examine your life. You know, there's a couple things that will take away your joy. One is worry. God tells us not to worry. And it's so easy in this day and age to begin to worry. Oh, we don't have enough money. Our kids are getting beat up at school. Da, 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 da. There's just so many problems. And just begin to learn to give praise back to God. It's He loves you, and Satan wants to rob you of your joy, and I wouldn't let that happen. I don't care if I have 10 more barnacles. I don't care. So, dear. So, I just have to ask you something. Have you fed your soul this summer? We have a tendency to. I was watching some of the ads on television. There's a lot of ads on television having to do with our physical appearance. Have you ever noticed that? Life lift something. What? Something like that. There's that, and then there's other this cold stuff that they put on your tummy to get rid of all the fat. And then there's makeup galore to make you look better. And we spend all this time and all this money on stuff that is just a waste of time, really, tell you the truth. It's either that or like I'm on such a strict diet that I can't eat any salt because that's how I ended up in the hospital. But you've got to guard your soul. You've got to feed it. And I think that's why you and I like Bible study so much, is because we're feeding our souls. Your soul's going to last forever. Your body will fall apart. Mine is falling apart faster than I keep up with it. And it's just remember that. It's separate. I'll read you a couple of things out of this. I'm out of time, so I've got to make this short. Thank you. Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Rather be afraid of the one, capital one, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. A lot of people would be shocked to know Jesus said something like this because we think of him as always saying comforting words, especially fear not. But so why all of a sudden is he telling us to be afraid? Because the stakes are so high. The body eventually ages and wears out, but the soul lives forever. And how you live determines the destination of your soul. We don't like to think about this, but the Bible teaches that we will one day stand before God, who is the judge of our eternal destiny. If you live your life in deliberate violation of his will and his ways, your soul will eventually be destroyed by being completely separated from God. That was the essence of Jesus' warning. Protect your soul, guard it, make room in your life to take care of it. And I want to read this little blurb here about this girl who's in her 30s. We see people who have strength of soul that simply will not be degraded by the humiliation their body puts them through. Amen. He writes of a woman named Patricia who suffered from the effects of diabetes, a heart attack, and two strokes. She went blind, went into renal failure, which required dialysis, and had both her legs amputated, all while only in her 30s. She was placed in a nursing home, except for those several times a year when she had to be hospitalized, frequently going into a coma for 1 or 2 weeks during those days. Pat was part of a church in Washington, D.C., that wanted to create a homeless shelter. They could not find anyone with the leadership skills to pull it off. So she volunteered. In between dialysis and amputations and comas, she pulled together the team and got the zoning changed, architectural help, and fundraising done. She then helped the team figure out the roles for the homeless people who used the shelter, and she recruited and trained the staff who were in it. When Pat died after the shelter's first successful year in operation, homeless people stood next to the United States cabinet members such as Secretary of State James Baker at her funeral. The soul knows a glory that the body cannot rob. In some ways, in some cases, the more the body revolts, the more the soul shines through. People may claim to believe that all you are is your body, but Pat said one time, the only thing I can depend on with my body is that it will fail me. Somehow my body is mine, but it's not me. Think about that. Your soul is who you are. And one day you'll be with the Lord and you'll be perfect. Oh, that'll be the day. The only thing I can depend on with my body, it will fail me. Somehow my body's mine, but it's not me. Greatness of soul is available to people who do not have the luxury of being ecstatic about the condition and appearance of their bodies. The next ad you see on TV about this or that, fixing this or that, worry about your soul, feed your soul. Father, we thank you for the book of Acts. We thank you that it will be a challenge to us. And we pray that we'll be like the apostles, searching the scriptures, studying it, becoming more women of your word, empowered by your Holy Spirit, Lord. The job is not done, and we need to be on our knees and praying for those that are outside the kingdom. Bless these ladies, Lord. Help them to perhaps look at their situation in a new and fresh way, and may you lift those burdens, Lord, that we might see you more clearly. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.